Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Moses went and spake all these words unto all, and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong, and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come together to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them for a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. We'll see the song, Lord willing, in the afternoon worship service. This is a hard word. It is a hard word for all generations of God's people, not only for the wilderness generation that were readying themselves to enter into the land of promise, the land which God had promised to them, the land which He had sworn to them that He would give them. But for all of God's people, in all time, this is a word that we must hear. What is that word? Rebellion. The word is rebellion. Were they a people singularly blessed by God and granted such mighty terrors in deliverance from the land of Egypt? Yes. Were they a people that had been given the ordinances of God? Yes. Were they a people that had received at the hand of the very prophet himself the instruction of Yahweh? Yes. Were they a people who had God in their midst, and did they not behold Him in the cloud and in the sea? Did they not behold Him in His habitation in the tabernacle? Did they not behold Him in the ordinances of His worship? Yes, they did. Did they not have set before them with clear instruction the way of life and the way of death? Yes, they did. Did they not have before them the teaching office of the church and the elders of the church to lead them and to guide them and to instruct them and to judge for them? Yes. Did they not have the singular blessings of God? Yes. And what did they do with those blessings? It is a sad thing. It is a sad thing that we ourselves, even as Reformed Presbyterians, have the great advantages that we have and yet do not make use of them as we should. You know my heart concerning Reformed Presbyterianism and its fractured state, because we have majored on minor things and have separated ourselves one from another and have cut our strength off at the knees, if you will. You know the story. I have told you the story. Sitting across the table from another Reformed Presbyterian who said, we're Presbyterians. We pick at each other. That's what we do. And what a terrible weakness that is. And what a sign of rebellion truly it is in our day. That we talk of our Reformed Presbyterian brethren, and when we talk of them, the foremost of our conversation is how we disagree rather than how we agree. This does not adorn our profession of the gospel. It shames us. There are, besides those endemic reference within Reformed Presbyterianism itself, there are other difficulties that we face. We do not use the things of God as we should. We abuse God's goodness to us. We do rebel against Him daily in thought and in word and in deed. This is a hard word for God's people. Now, God has provided something better in the new covenant. He has provided a better covenant based on better promises. He has provided a fuller manifestation of Jesus Christ. He has provided a freeness in His Spirit. He has provided in this new covenant age an age of voluntary association with the people of God and membership in the church as a voluntary, a setting forth of the hand rather than being born in the land. And so in Hebrews chapter 8 and in Jeremiah 31:31, speaking of these new covenant days, the author there writes, "They will not be encouraging one another, know the Lord, for they'll all know me." Because there is a greater voluntary association that we have in the new covenant. And still this rebellion persists among us. Still we know that we are not where we ought to be. Still the hard word that the Lord spoke through Moses to the children of Israel rings true in our hearing. Because the grace of perfection is not something that has been given to us in this life. And we find ourselves even sitting in church, even attending on ordinances, distracted by the idols of our heart. You say, those aren't idols. Well, anything that detracts from your loyalty and attention and focus and affection that you ought to have to the Lord Jesus Christ is an idol. And then one more point, and we'll be done with this chapter. And that is that there are many in the church today that do not understand the safeguards, the safety of church authority. And Moses makes this very plain. Moses says, "While I was with you and while I was alive, you were rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my demise?" While I was with you, while I was here and among you, there was a proper fear and reverence that you had for my office as a prophet and a pastor and a teacher among you. How much more after my demise will ye sin because I will not be there, because that pressure of oversight will not weigh upon you. You will take advantage of Joshua, my predecessor. Those who comes behind me, not predecessor, but that who follows me. You will take advantage of him. And so he brings Joshua before the people and he tells Joshua what? Be strong. Be of a good courage. But there are many in the church today that refuse the authority that God has set in place. Moses here calls it a safeguard. He calls it a net, if you will, that I called it pressure a moment ago. It's not the right word. That acknowledgement, that understanding, that constant reminder that God has set authority over us. There are many people in the church today, even ministers, who desire, if you will, to carry their own credentials, to carry their own authority with them, to be islands to themselves. Even ministers do that. Ministers have left many good and solid denominations, and they have left them in order to form churches out of nothing. Independent churches. Many of these men, formerly good, solid Presbyterian men, forming churches without oversight, without credentials, becoming their own keepers. Moses here talks about the cleansing, sanctifying effect of church authority. And brothers and sisters, we must agree with Moses that church authority does have a sanctifying and a cleansing effect upon us. And that there are none of us without authority. And please, I don't want you to understand that when we talk of church authority that I'm exempting myself from that or any other officer in the church. We all serve at the behest of others. we all serve at the behest of the authority structures that God has given us. And when I get up in the morning, I remember my brethren in the RPCGA, those presbyters to whom I must give an account, who can, in due course, call me to account for my ministry. And they do so, how? In the name of the Lord, by the authority of Jesus Christ. So authority is a good thing. Children, the authority of your parents is a good thing. They call you to account in the name of the Lord. You say, really? Did Jesus give them that authority? Oh, yes. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Or Ephesians 6, 1 and following, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Yes, children, your parents call you to account in the name of the Lord. The magistrate calls you to account in the name of the Lord. He is God's minister for good. And a people without an authority over them are a wayward and destructive people. So let us learn then to enjoy and to relish and to flourish under the structures that God has set over us in authority. We live in a country that desires everyone to be the same, that there should be no difference in place or in station. What does Moses say? After my demise, you will do wickedly. Not because the authority over them had ceased, but because of their perception of the authority was somehow lessened. Let us perceive that God has granted us such structures for our good, and let us learn to flourish under them. Thus ends the reading then of Deuteronomy chapter 31.